Welcome to the Potter Discussion.
Welcome back to the Potter Discussion, discussing Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts, and the Wizarding World fandom. I'm your host, Oscar, and this is episode 135. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you've been having a lovely day, or you are about to have a lovely day, because we are talking about scenes in Harry Potter that can have a different ending. Obviously, there is a lot of stuff in Harry Potter. There are different pivotal moments, plot twists, very complicated, jumbled moments, and some add to the story, some take away, some are completely neutral. But today, I want to talk about some scenes that I think could have had a different ending, that I think could have been for the better, but also there are a couple in here that I think are a bit unconventional, that might be a bit controversial even. So make sure you stick around for that. Actually, before we get started, I have a bit of an announcement. There is going to be no The Potter Discussion for the next few weeks. I believe two episodes are going to be reruns, starting next episode. Again, next episode and the episode after that are going to be reruns, because I am on a very special mission. I'm going to be in a different place than my studio, so there is no recording for me. It is a bit of a vacation, but it is in the Harry Potter Central. So that is all I will say, but I'm going to come back with a lot of really good content, a lot of good social media content too, so there's a lot to look forward to, but unfortunately there's going to be no new episodes in the next couple weeks. But stay tuned, because there are going to be some good ones that you should hear. But yes, there will be no new episodes next couple weeks, but there will be some new ones after that. I just wanted to make sure you knew that. But let's get into today's episode. Alright, so the very first thing I want to talk about before we get into the actual scenes are, why would this change our view of the story? Well, I think what this would really do for us is just change the story in general. Because obviously, what we see the story as is literally what happens. We know the facts of, you know, Harry's parents' deaths. We know, you know, the Horcruxes, the different challenges Harry faces each year. So really, what our view would be changed by is really the events of the story themselves. And I think is a fairly obvious thing that is going to be the main way that our view is changed in this case. That is mostly because I think Harry Potter has a very specific way of doing things. You know, every event is laid out very plainly and clearly and in a very specific order. And if that were to be disrupted, or if that were to be changed or in any way kind of mixed up, I think then that would prove to be a very different story. Even if like one event was different, that would send a cascade of different plot twists and storylines, and the Potter series really turned into something that is not what we know it as. And that's not bad, but I'm saying that there's definitely a lot here that is a variable that I think turned out a very specific way, and that is the way that we know the story as. But I think, and if anything else happened, even I think especially very early on, any decision happened very early on, I think there would be a very, very different story that would come out. And even if I think, like, even if there was this little difference, like Harry's parents died, you know, 2 or 3 minutes apart, and maybe that proves that then Voldemort could have talked to Harry more, and Harry could have remembered one thing that could then allow them to kill him sooner, like, these little tiny things and all the decisions that all these people make are this huge impact on the story. Of course, this is like a whole, you know, getting into like time and time travel, which is a very confusing topic that I think we can do perhaps to not talk about today. But I think it is valuable to at least consider that there's a lot to do with like a very specific order in which every single little detailed decision happens in the story. And we see how much of a difference it makes in The Cursed Child. I know we had The Cursed Child reviews a while back. If you can, like, remember those a little bit, or if you read the screenplay, you'll know that the main purpose of the story is really showing that how Draco's son, Scorpius, is traveling back in time, and it goes wrong, and he tries to fix it, and all these, like, little tiny mistakes mount and become this huge big deal. In one of the realities that Scorpius created, Voldemort had survived, and he was ruling the Wizarding World. Hogwarts was all Slytherins. They had V-Day. It was a huge big deal just because of that one time travel incident that happened with Scorpius. But this should prove to you is that if just one thing is off, if just one thing is different from the story as we know it, then there's almost no chance that there'll be anything similar to, the order of events that we know them as. I mean, even we saw Snape was alive, like, all those things. Dumbledore was like dead a lot earlier, and Harry was dead. Characters like are gonna be like inverted. Those who are alive are dead, and those who are dead are gonna be alive. Like, the different people are gonna be switching sides. There's gonna be destruction and creation and all this like stuff that is just like thrown up into the air. Because really, when you're going back in time, and in this case, when we are gonna be changing some of these events, we're just flipping every single thing and just letting things fall again. It's like laying out cards on a blanket exactly how they should be, then taking it and shaking it just because of one event. Or like you know when you like spread out cards in a line and then you like flip one over and the rest go like broom all the way down. It's like taking one out and then trying to do it again and it might not work, you know? So there's so much room for everything to kind of collapse in on itself if we make a wrong decision here. Obviously the story will not change, but I think it'll be interesting to see really what we think might happen if it does. So I think that is a good jumping off point. So let's get into the very, very first scene. This first one, I think, is one of the most obvious differences to the story that I think a lot of people think of. At least in my opinion, it's one of, if not the most obvious difference. And that is, what if Harry was killed by Voldemort when he was just a little baby? Well, this is kind of a big topic, and I think it's not going to be very applicable to dissect the entire thing just in this episode, but I think we can go over some of the kind of greater effects and really discuss what immediate challenges this would pose. So the first big difference that I see here is that the storyline of Harry Potter, just in general, would be gone. I mean, obviously, Harry doesn't exist, so Ron and Hermione don't really form that, like, amazing connection, and Hogwarts pretty much falls apart. But I think that's because, also, that because Harry doesn't live, that doesn't provide this kind of rebellion behind Voldemort, and that kind of allows him to fall. But also, if you can recall, Voldemort would have continued his rampage. He was just gathering power, he was just starting, he was really, you know, starting this age of Voldemort, and if Harry hadn't accidentally stopped him, that rage would have continued. But if Harry didn't, I think this is some plot convenience moments here. If, say, like, the love protection didn't work, or, say, you know, Lily didn't die in, the right way for the protection to actually come into effect, then they're all dead, and then Voldemort is just continuing his rise. I think that Cursed Child timeline of, you know, Voldemort is just taking over the world, I think would happen within the year, because there still is some good. I think there still is people like Dumbledore and Snape and McGonagall, people who are actively fighting against Dumbledore, and I think that is going to be one of the main ways that the Voldemort army is fought back in this timeline. But like I was saying, Voldemort is just starting. He's at the bottom of his power, and he manages to kill an entire family and, you know, get away with it. And obviously, we've seen just how much power he can hold. And I think at that point, he had all of his Horcruxes, because Harry was the last one. But that gives him an advantage. That gives Voldemort an advantage that he now does not, that Harry is not, you know, the last part of the Horcrux. So there's just so much here that Voldemort gains. And I think, like, looking at this, I think it really allows us to appreciate just how much of an effect that had. We wouldn't have had any of the story just at all if Harry had died. And, if he survived. We had a story because he survived. We would have none of it if he had died. And Voldemort would just really becoming this powerful force. And people still talk about how horrible his reign was. Like, Hagrid didn't even, like, want to say his name. The whole wizarding world didn't want to say his name. Arthur is, like, terrified. Sirius even was not pleased at all. In fact, he was very unhappy with the way things were going in the Dark Ages of Voldemort. So, I think just from this, just from Harry Potter, like, the story that we know, not even going back in history, we can tell just how dark a time it was, which is why I call it the Dark Ages. And I think that just fact alone, the fact that it was horrible with Voldemort alive, I think that is really the thing that we can use to really see just how much of an effect the entire event of Harry actually dying instead of surviving was found in the story. I think I'm getting my point across here pretty well. This is one of the things that just happens super early on, and is one of the main events of the entire story to come. So it is in the perfect position to just absolutely jumble everything. And now, like with my cards and the blanket analogy, they're not just shaking the blanket, they're just tossing all the cards off. Everything is just wiped clean. You know, the future that we think is going to happen from the time that Harry was still alive in this timeline when he died, we see just how little of a chance there is. And we see just how blank the slate of the future at this point really has to be. And if we were to go back, and if we were to see these events happening in the order that they eventually do, except that Harry actually dies, I think understanding really why that happened and what will happen immediately after that is a very important part of just really this entire thing. I personally would find it very interesting to read a little excerpt or just some little like summary or snippet or even a whole book I would love to read talking about laying out the storyline of if Harry had died, which I think would have been very interesting and something that I would absolutely love to pick up. If that exists somewhere, I would love to know. If it doesn't, that is a shame. Someone get on that. But I think that is a pretty good wrap to this segment. So let's move on to the next point. All right, so sticking with the same theme here of death and life kind of reversed, let's talk about Dumbledore. Dumbledore died in the sixth book. I'm sorry, it's just a spoiler. I shouldn't be saying this, but I think it's important to really accept this fact that Dumbledore died in The Half-Blood Prince. It's a sad event. It's horrible. But what if that didn't happen? What if Dumbledore didn't try on the ring? What if his hand was not poisoned? What if he wasn't planning to die? What if he had to have Severus kill him to stop Draco from doing it? What if all those things didn't happen? That is what this next segment is going to be about. And just kicking off right now, I think they would have won. I think Dumbledore and Harry would have won a lot faster and easier. It's important for Harry in the timeline that we know. I think it's important that he went on that journey and, you know, went through ups and downs with Ron and Hermione, and they found all the Horcruxes and went camping together. You know, I think all that stuff is great. I think that was great for him. I think that was a learning experience. But if Dumbledore was there, then there would be no more like mysterious ways. There would be no more, you know, like trying to guessing what he meant. You know, being mad that Harry didn't really know who he was, you know, just like being just really, really sad about everything in general. It would just be a lot easier on everyone, because Dumbledore is pretty much the figurehead of the good people, pretty much. I think Harry's the face, but Dumbledore is kind of the figurehead. If if you know what I mean, you know. Dumbledore's steering the ship, but Harry is kind of the mast, you know. So there's a lot of different things at play here, but the winning of the good side, I think, is definitely the one that is most prominent and the one that will probably take effect sooner, because The Half-Blood Prince is the sixth book out of seven, and it's at the very end. So if Dumbledore were to survive and all those Death Eaters were, you know, captured and stopped, I think not only would that help, you know, just because they were captured Death Eaters and there were some pretty prominent ones, but then that would just allow Dumbledore and everyone to kind of pursue the goal that they wanted to much sooner. And I know the Devil's Advocate would say, well, there was no way to avoid Dumbledore's death because he was so weak from the potion, you know, they were flying up to the tower. And that might be true. That might be true. But I think it would have been so much planning, and it would have been stretching much farther back than just that night. As we all know, Draco was giving, you know, was trying to kill Dumbledore a lot sooner, a lot quicker. He was trying all year, and obviously Dumbledore knew. If he wasn't planning to be killed by Severus, he would have put a stop to it much earlier. And he only didn't because, obviously, like I said before, he was planning to get killed by Severus, not Draco. He just didn't think that he would have to convince Draco on the night, in the second that he was going to, which I think was a little blip in the plans. But Dumbledore and Snape would have been working much closer together, and, you know, would have been talking, because if they knew that Dumbledore didn't have to die, then they probably would have stopped Draco, because Dumbledore's sacrifice wouldn't have played as big a role if it didn't have to happen, and if Harry, you know, if all the circumstances weren't set up that way. So I think having that outlet of Dumbledore still being alive, I think would have been almost the one thing that would have really pushed Voldemort over the edge and really made him go crazy. And then they probably would have won, because then Voldemort would have been pretty much done for, and then, you know, the whole fiasco of Horcruxes would have happened. He would have flew into a rage. So, really, Dumbledore's survival would have only proved to be an advantage for Dumbledore. Yes, obviously, an advantage. Death over life, I think, is not a good option. But what I meant to say was an advantage for Harry, Ron, Hermione, and everyone else on the side of good, which I think is a fairly obvious way of putting things. But it definitely plays a huge part in the story that we think we know. So when we really talk about how if Dumbledore survived, I think this is definitely a huge part of really how the operations of the story go after this. So, overarching thoughts. Dumbledore's survival would have led to them winning a lot faster. Harry probably would have been more sane in his own skin, because he knew that he could ask Dumbledore anything, and they would have won a lot sooner, because that is just how I think it would have gone. So that is that, and let's move on. Now, I think we should take it down to a more somber note, because the event that we are now discussing is one of the utmost tragedy, and it really just brings tears to my eyes whenever I think about it. It happened to Draco in the Goblet of Fire. He did something so atrocious and egregious, and he was punished gravely for it. And that was the time that he was turned into a ferret by Mad Eye Moody. Okay. You caught me in my joke. So, I decided, you know, I figured we've been talking about this big deal stuff, but let's talk about one event that, if stayed permanent, how would the story have changed? So, let's discuss, if Draco had stayed a ferret, how would the story have been different? Yay! Well... Okay. I think there is some stuff definitely that we can discuss here. So the main difference that I see here, the main huge thing that Harry would gain or whatever, you know, the main difference here is really Draco's future life, especially with Voldemort. Because as we know, in the future of the story, we know, with Lucius and Narcissa, Draco is very pressured to join the Death Eaters and, you know, become this, like, Voldemort right-hand man dude. You know, he's on the front lines, he's really in the thick of it with Voldemort. That's really where his parents are like, yeah, you go. Well, I should say Lucius is much more dead set on that. Narcissa would like that for him, because that's still what their family does. But I think Narcissa cares more about, you know, Draco as a person, not really just as another addition to Voldemort's ranks. So this, I think, is a huge part of really how the future of, you know, Harry and Dumbledore's relationship also continues. Not with each other, but with everything. Because Draco actually plays a surprisingly pivotal role in the future, especially in the Deathly Hallows Part 1. The first part of the story, and I guess you could, yeah, I guess part one is in the movie part one, but also part one is in the story, the first part of the story, before the Battle of Hogwarts. Draco is trying to examine Harry because Harry, Ron, and Hermione were captured in the forest. Hermione cast a stinging spell on Harry, so now his face is now all bubbled up and, you know, deformed and all that stuff. So Draco has to then recognize him because they're going to call Voldemort and they're going to become rewarded and be honored and stuff like that. Draco has to, identify Harry, and obviously Draco does not want to be Death Eater. He doesn't want to be the bad guy, so he says, I don't know. I don't know who that person is. Not Harry, you know, whatever, like, what is happening, you know? So, I think that's just one of the events that come to mind, but they're just, like, little things, you know, over, like, the different differences, like, very, very small differences. It's like Draco wouldn't have become a Death Eater, and then maybe Voldemort would have been as lenient with Lucius and Narcissa because they weren't going to add anything to the ranks, and Voldemort knows Lucius is not a very not a very loyal person, and I guess actually Voldemort would have probably killed the Malfoys, like all the Malfoys, because Draco would have stayed a ferret before the end of the book. Which is, at that point, Lucius has to meet Voldemort. Voldemort calls his followers again, and Lucius wouldn't have showed up because he was with Draco. Maybe at St. Mungo's, maybe at somewhere else where they were trying to, bring him back to normal. Then Voldemort would have realized that they were just cowards, you know, and they would have to kill them, because there were some people that didn't show up that night. There were some people that he listed off that were just too cowardly to show up, and Lucius would have been on that list, and he would have been dead the next morning. So a lot of different stuff goes into this. I think the effect that it has on Harry is definitely more down to Draco, but I think the effect that it has on the entire family is more up to Voldemort, because Voldemort obviously has the power to kill, to give life, to give all that stuff. I think he's really acting as God with the different Death Eaters that he has in his control. Draco's permanent transformation would definitely play a huge part. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say huge part, but it would definitely influence the story much more than I think anyone would have expected. Especially for such a silly thing, like a ferret of all things. If Professor McGonagall hadn't come up and, you know, Moody was called away and Draco just scurried away before they could find him, then it very well could have happened, and that would have been that, and the story would have gone on, Lucius would have died, and the whole story would have crumbled, like we were saying before. So, I mean, this is a bit of a joke, but I think it would be interesting. I think it's not because he's a ferret, I think it's just because he's not himself anymore, which is why it would have this effect. But we have a lot of other stuff. I want to get to a couple more, at least one more, before we close out this episode, so let's move on. And now, the final scenario for the day. What would happen if Sirius stayed in Azkaban? This is a very interesting one, and one that I've actually been thinking about far before I was making this episode. And that's because if Sirius hadn't showed up, then Harry likely wouldn't have been involved in the Order of the Phoenix at all. This is because a lot of different things went into the Order of the Phoenix, and a lot of which came from Sirius. Number 12, Grimmauld Place, for example. That was provided by Sirius. Creature was in Sirius's house, you know? All that stuff was from Sirius. And I think Sirius also acted as, like, this, you know, father figure that Harry never had. I think, like, Arthur Weasley and Molly and Sirius and, I think, honestly, Dumbledore also. I think those were the only people that Harry could really turn to and see as a, you know, a friend, as a real, real person who was there for him. So if Sirius wasn't there, then really how would this change? I think the most immediate changes would appear in the Prisoner of Azkaban, because if Sirius wasn't there, if it wasn't the dog, Harry wouldn't be scared for his life, you know, because he saw the Grim, and likely There would have been some difficulty with the werewolves, because Sirius fought off the werewolf, Lupin. And he, that's a bit of a, you know, a small event. But also with Peter Pettigrew, they would have had a harder time, you know, finding Peter Pettigrew. And also with Snape. Snape would have found Harry, Ron, and Hermione and Peter, and would have been like, oh, great, let's send you back up to school, you know, going to detention, you know, get in trouble for 4 years. So a lot of different little things I think would have definitely added up, because like a bunch of little things is, I think, can be counted as one big thing, which it is. These little things of they would have been killed by a werewolf, Peter would have survived, you know, they would have never known about Harry's true family. That can be considered a huge big thing of Sirius staying in Azkaban. But also, Harry wouldn't know that he had a godfather. Harry wouldn't know much about James. He wouldn't know, a ton of stuff. He wouldn't have found the locket, because R.A.B., Regulus Arcturus Black, is Sirius's brother, and they found him in Number 12 Grimmauld Place in the very end. I think it was in the Deathly Hallows they found the true locket, and that was really why, I think, They managed to destroy it, too, because they knew where it was, R.A.B., Regulus Arcturus Black, I said before, and they found the locket through that. Harry also found a letter, you know, with his parents in Sirius's house. They found some pictures. They found so much stuff, and a lot of different things happened there. But also, I think the Battle of the Order of the Phoenix would have looked very different. One of my favorite scenes in the entire series would have been very strange. Of course, that is also Sirius's end, so I think it would have been terribly different. The end might have been, well, actually, I think it would have been. I think it would have been very different, in fact, because if Sirius wasn't there, I think they still would have won, because no other members of the Order of the Phoenix were killed besides Sirius. So I think they still would have won by a long shot, the Order of the Phoenix. But I don't think they would have, I don't think that duel between Voldemort would have happened. I don't think, Dumbledore would have showed up. Because that only happens because Bellatrix kills Sirius. Sirius goes through the veil, then Bellatrix runs away, and Harry's really, you know, screaming and stuff, and Lupin holds him back, but Harry breaks free, runs after Bellatrix into the atrium, and then Harry's gonna, like, kill Bellatrix. But then Voldemort enters with his, like, you know, like, what's that? Like, he's, like, floating across the floor, and Harry turns his wand at him, but Voldemort casts his wand away, you know, and then Dumbledore comes in. Okay, I'm talking myself. You can tell that I love this scene, but my point is here that Sirius has kind of a lot of an effect here. Also, not to mention the Goblet of Fire helping him with the tasks, acting as moral support, giving him his firebolt. All this stuff has just been such a difference. And the Firebolt, too, has a long-term effect, because, obviously, he keeps up his Quidditch, but also, then he escapes the Hungarian Horntail. We saw the fire of the Horntail was really close to Harry when he was in the first task. So if his broom is just a little bit slower, sizzle, sizzle, crackle, pop, Harry Potter is now a corn on the cob, or I should say a kebab. So you can really see that a lot of little things, I mean, look, the moral of this entire episode really is that a lot of little things add up to be a very large deal, and just one event, no matter how small, a person's a person, no matter how small, an event, no matter how small, is monumental, is colossal, acts as this huge tether to every single thing that happens after that, and if just one event is knocked out of place, the rest of the entire story crumbles right after it. And that just about covers it. Thank you so much for being in this episode with me. Thank you for listening along to my thoughts. I hope you agree at least somewhat, because it is a big deal talking about all this stuff. If you have anything else you want to add to this, I encourage you to send me an email. My email is thepotterdiscussion@gmail.com. That is thepotterdiscussion@gmail.com. You can also send me a DM on Instagram. My Instagram is @thepotterdiscussion, and it is the same on TikTok @thepotterdiscussion. The Quillen ink, because of my absence in the next couple weeks, there will also be no Quillen ink I think it's in July, actually, the Quillen ink is coming out. It'll, very end of June, at least. So that will not be coming out because I'll be away But even still, I think you can get some good value from the freebie that is connected, that if you sign up for the Quill and Ink, in addition to the twice monthly emails that you will receive, you also get the ultimate guide to a perfect Harry Potter marathon that gives you 2 Easter eggs from every film to make your watching experience just that much better. So I think that's just about all I have to say. Thank you for sticking around the entire episode. I hope you enjoyed this every step of the way. I certainly did. And remember that happiness can be found even in the darkest of times if one only remembers to turn on the light. I will see you later.
This was the Potter Discussion.